As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Alrighty, James. We are back with another podcast. That's why we're doing this. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? You got a tan from your trip through California?
Yeah, it wasn't honestly, it was nice. It wasn't like super warm, so it wasn't like tanning type weather.
Yeah, and a good trip. Early January is like 20 degrees maybe, right?
Yeah, that was, it wasn't even that hot. It was a good trip. Good trip for the Leafs. I think their best game on that trip, we have a lot of questions to get to. We'll talk about Nylander, et cetera, but their best game on that trip was that LA game. LA is legit, and they played really well. Like, they didn't give LA much. The other two games, like, they dominate Anaheim. They handle San Jose, like, whatever. But a good trip for them. That's what you need to do on a trip like that, right?
So I got a stat to throw at you. Their last six games, which I would say that's been their best stretch of defensive play we've seen all season. Last six games, expected goals against, scoring chances against, third best in the NHL.
Yeah.
And their expected goal share is fourth best in the last six games. Now, two of those are San Jose.
Yep.
One was Columbus.
Yep.
One was Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a Carolina and an LA in there where those are two really good teams. And you know, so it's hard to read in. Well, like the San Jose games were like,
yeah, kind of a joke.
The Anaheim game was kind of, those three games were a bit like watch, you know, they had some injuries and stuff. Those three games were a bit like watching them play an AHL team.
Yeah. It felt like Matthews in that Anaheim game could have had five goals. Like he just,
didn't he have like 14 shots on goal or something?
He had 13 shots, I believe. And 20 attempts, which is a career high.
I've got Matthews and Nylander in the Athletic pool, and watching a game like that, or watching a game like the San Jose games, it's like, you know, and shots on goal are a category, and you get like half a point for every shot on goal. So like Matthews has 13 shots on goal. It's like, anyway.
Well, it's important, James, that they keep stacking up points because the division is getting like really interesting.
Yeah.
Boston right now is first with 56. Florida's won eight in a row. They've got 54. Both of those teams have played 40 games. The Leafs have played 38 and they've got 49 points. So they need to kind of keep this going.
Not only that, Jonas, but look behind them. Like I don't like Detroit's not going away. You're so
right.
Tampa's there too, right? Like Tampa's been better than Tampa, I believe, beat Colorado yesterday, I think. Tampa's been,
they beat LA,
been pushing a bit. So like if there's five teams, then all of a sudden it gets interesting, right? Because then you have to kind of look behind you. Like if the Leafs lost three in a row.
Well, yeah, James, just to your point, like so the two teams as we record this in the wild card positions are the Islanders and the Lightning. They have 46 and 45, and then behind them, Jersey, Washington, Pittsburgh, Detroit all have 44. Like it's not, you're not that far out from leading the division. You're not that far out from being in a wild card spot or even being out of the playoffs. So
yeah. Like if Martin Jones turns into a pumpkin or something and they have a hard time winning games, or their schedule gets a little bit tougher, you know, like that trip through Western Canada is not going to be easy.
No, that's a hard trip. You know, I watched a bit of the Edmonton game last night. Like they didn't play especially well, but Edmonton's been better. Calgary's been a little bit better. Yeah. Vancouver obviously has been great all year. Maybe before we get to Nylander, let's talk a little bit about Jones, just because like I thought about this in San Jose when I wrote about him over the weekend. He was in the minors to start the year. Like he was basically an afterthought. Like obviously they wanted to get him through waivers. That was important, but he wasn't supposed to be, he was just supposed to be insurance. And like now he is being insurance. And it's like, he's not been tested a ton, like especially of late, but he's making the saves he's supposed to make. Like what's standing out to you about Martin Jones?
It feels like the way he plays, like stylistically, it's just kind of, it works with what the way the Leafs play, if that makes sense. I mean, it's, he's a veteran guy that's seen a lot. Like he played for some really good San Jose teams and he had some good seasons. They're just like a long time ago. So yeah. I was like, he hasn't played a lot this year. I wonder if like, just like not playing that much and practicing and like, I wonder if that's set him up for success a little bit, you know, like he's only, how many games did he play with the Marlies? 5 or something? Like he wasn't, they weren't rolling him out every night down there because they want their young guys to play.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, he's 33 and he had played a shit ton of games. Like you remember those seasons in San Jose that you're referencing? Like he was playing like 66, 68, like just insane.
I have to correct you, Jonas. He is 34 years old.
Oh, did he just have a birthday? Because he was 33. Today
is Martin Jones' birthday.
Wow.
So happy birthday, Martin Jones. Pride of North Vancouver, BC.
Well, let me ask you, like, how real do you think this is? What do you think this means? Because, like, when Joseph Woll comes back, and, like, that's going to for sure now be after the All-Star break, I don't think, like, you're just automatically handing him the job back. Like, if Jones keeps playing like this, why not just keep playing Jones?
Well, I think it should be, like, a tandem is what I would do. Because you need to know what you have in Jones and Woll by the time you get to the trade deadline and to know if you need to bring someone else in. And I think that that's probably why, like the breaking news before we started recording is that Samsonov is back with the Leafs practicing and they've called him up.
We'll talk about that.
I think they might give Samsonov a start here. Like, I don't think he's hit last chance saloon yet. So they gave him this reset. He worked with Hannu Toivonen while the team was in California, and they've got a back-to-back coming up this weekend, and I think they're thinking about starting him.
Let's table that for 1 second, like to just finish the conversation on Jones. We just see goalies from time to time, like from year to year, even goalies his age, can just like this, like you've told me before, like don't try to predict goaltending. This is like a perfect example. Like, do you think this can kind of keep up? Do you think it's real? Do you think it's like half real? Do you think he, like, what do you think this is? Like, we looked at some of the goalies who could be potentially traded for, and it's like Jones might just be as good or better than a lot of those guys. Like, why make a move if this is what he can be?
So Jones's last 5 years, he's been a starter. He's played 62, 41, 34, 35, 48 games. He's played a lot of games.
And not
his last 5 years. And his save percentage in those years is 896, 896, 896, 900, 887.
Yeah, so pretty steady. Yeah.
He's been well below average the last 5 years. So it's not like a 1 or a 2 year thing where you could be like,
right,
he's going to bounce back. It's like, this is what he's been since he was like 28 years old. Like, this is what he's been for a long time. His best seasons were in his prime years, right when he first came into the league with LA and San Jose. I mean, he was San Jose's goalie when they had the run to the final, right? Like he played well,
mm-hmm.
and he was a good goalie. So some of that's probably, but that's what I'm saying is I wonder if he's before this stretch, before the injuries and what happened with Samsonov turning into a pumpkin. He'd only played 5 games in the first like 2 months of the season. Like he was kind of just sitting around. Yeah. I wonder if that helps, but I think they need to be careful though, because that 896 goalie is in there somewhere, right? Like,
well, and it's almost like if he continues to play a lot of games, like eventually he's going to revert back to that. Like he's at 934 right now. He ain't 934. Like eventually
that's going to trickle down, I guess, the more you play them and the more they play better teams. And like, they've been playing so well defensively. I mean, if you can keep that up, obviously you'll ask less of Martin Jones, but credit to him. Like, he's taken this opportunity. He's run with it. Imagine like if he hadn't, like if he had just been, if for the, this chunk of games, he was just 896 again, you'd be like, oh my God, it would be like, if the crease is on fire.
If Joseph Wall was coming back tomorrow, what I would do is do a rotation, do a tandem with Jones and Wall. I would just, like Boston does, like play one guy one game and the other guy the next game and just see if someone grabs the net, see how they do. You want to play Wall. That's a tough injury. Some goalie people were saying the high ankle sprain can be really hard for goalies to come back from, and it's probably going to take him longer than it took. That's what Liljegren had, right?
Yep.
It's probably going to take him longer than it took Liljegren to come back from that injury. So, in the interim, I don't know.
Okay, well, so that brings us to Samsonov. I don't agree with this. I don't know how a week of whatever, like just decompression going away from the team is supposed to change everything. Maybe it will. I would play Hildeby on that Sunday against Detroit. I don't know why it's like such a big deal. What do you think?
I mean, the Detroit game, like we talked about, like they're coming up behind them. So that's a team that can pile up goals too.
Have you seen Samsonov play? Like why should they have more confidence in Samsonov to give them good
goals? Well, I think they should have played Hildeby against San Jose yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with you. Or on that Saturday in San Jose. But like, I get the rationale, like you're rolling, Jones is rolling, keep him playing, but I don't know.
I think what they could have done is give Hildeby the San Jose joke game yesterday. They're going to win 7-1. If Hildeby's in it, what's the score in that game going to be? 7-3? Like, they're going to be fine.
Yep.
Yeah. So Detroit does have a back-to-back this weekend as well. They play at home against LA and then in Toronto. James, let me ask you this. Both teams are going to be tired.
And so, like, let's say presumably you play Samsonov on Sunday against Detroit. What if the same thing happens again? Then what? Then are you playing? Then they have another back to back a week later. Do you play Hildeby then? Like, do you play Samsonov again? Like, I don't know what the plan here was. Like, aside from like, let's get him away from the team. Let's try to like
cool. They're just not.
He didn't play any games. Like, how is this?
They're just not. Yeah, I mean, they believe that Toivonen being the goalie whisperer with him at home is going to help him kind of just reset and get, I think they're not 100% prepared to give up on him because of the season he had last year.
Okay.
So they want to give him another chance. They don't feel like Columbus but I think it's getting real close. I think if he plays against Detroit and is brutal, that might be it.
Yeah. I kind of thought after that Columbus game, that was it. To me, that felt like a staple. They played really well that night. He lost them the game. I get what you're saying, and I think there's validity to it, especially like you'd like him to be available in case you need him, but I don't know. I don't know why this would change anything, but we'll see. I mean, they could be right. I think their point was, we've tried everything else. We've tried to not play him for weeks. We've tried to he spent a million hours with Curtis Sanford. He's had these discussions. He's worked on technique. He's doing all these different things. Let's just get him away from the team while the team is in California. He can just chill out. But like, the pressures when he comes back are just going to be the same. Like, it's not like that all disappears when he comes back and has to play against Detroit. Maybe he'll figure it out. I don't know. Like, I mean, the only thing I was thinking, James, is like a couple years back when Jack Campbell had a similar kind of meltdown, he got hurt and was away for a month and then came back. It wasn't like amazing, but he was fine. But that was a month.
I mean, I guess the thing is that they looked around the league for potential other options and didn't see a lot that they liked. And with Jones playing well and Wall coming back in what, 3-4 weeks? They're trying to just stopgap their way to when they have Jones and Wall in the net, and maybe that means Samsonov gets another couple chances.
I guess it just feels like you're kind of like kicking this decision down the road. Like, or if the same thing happens against Detroit, are you done then? If it happens against Seattle, are you done then? Like, when
Or play Samsonov against San Jose. Like, I mean, that's got to be the easiest game.
Yeah, it's just possible. Like they've done that before and it hasn't stuck. Like, they, you know, like he's had the odd game where they didn't ask that much of him and he's been fine. And then the next game he gives up six. Like, I just don't think they're being fair to the team, you know, but maybe he can get it together. And I don't know.
I guess the good news is that they've banked a whole bunch of points here and there's a little bit more breathing room. Like, I'm sure
there's not. We just covered that. There's really isn't that much breathing room.
But like a week and a half ago, there was even less, right? Like a week and a half ago, I'm sure Sheldon Keefe was looking at it and it's like, man, how can we really risk? You know, they're up to eighth in the NHL right now. They have games in hand on a lot of the teams that are behind them. Mm-hmm. They've only played 38 games, whereas Detroit's at 40, Tampa's at 42. You know, and those teams have fewer points than them. So they have a little bit of breathing room. I mean, the problem is the teams above them have been playing so well. I mean, now Allmark got hurt last night in Arizona. So, but Swayman's been so good that it's hard to see Boston falling off.
Yeah. I guess I'm just getting to the point where if you're asking me who I trust more right now to play one game, I don't know that it's Samsonov, but.
You mean versus Hildeby?
Versus Hildeby. Like, I just don't see the big deal of playing Hildeby twice or whatever in a few weeks. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, the bigger news is obviously the William Nylander extension is done. We had talked about it a bit when the rumors were kind of circulating that it was just about done. A little bit more than we had anticipated. An 8-year deal, $11.5 million cap hit, $92 million total. What's your top line takeaway from this deal?
There's been a lot. I've seen a lot of commentary and complaints that the Leafs basically capitulated in every respect on term, on dollars, on the no movement clause, on the front loaded of the contract, on it being signing bonuses. Is there anything else? Basically, Nylander got, this is effectively around what Nylander was, camp was asking for at the draft when the negotiations went sideways and they ended up getting everything they wanted and the Leafs ended up getting nothing that they wanted. Like, this is exactly the contract that Nylander's camp wanted all along. Mm-hmm. In fact, it might even be more than what they would have wanted last summer. You know, they were $2.5 million apart, as Chris Johnson wrote in his story, 6 months ago. And the bridging of that gap wasn't so much a negotiation as, I mean, Nylander did his negotiating on the ice. You know, he went out there and had a career half to a season on pace for, I don't know, what's he on pace for after the San Jose game? He was on pace for 120 points before the game. Now it's going to be even higher after that. Mm-hmm. I think he caught Panarin. So now he's like up to like fourth in league scoring.
He's tied for third, actually.
Right.
Three of them have 50. He is on pace.
That's a pretty
123.
That's a pretty strong statement to come out. And I think the Leafs were thinking, you know, there's going to be pressure on him. He's not going to have the contract. He's not going to, could potentially hurt their leverage. But the complete opposite happened. And now Nylander's the fifth highest cap hit in the league, at least until Elias Pettersson signs his next contract. And it's too high. The number's too high, Jonas. And I think you and I have both been we both like Nylander as a player. We've both been complimentary of him the whole way along. This show has never been they need to trade this guy. Like, we've never had that discussion.
We've had that discussion, but like, you just always land on, it's not going to make them better.
But I think that, you know, like, you listen to a lot of the other commentary in the city. Sure. And over the years, it's been like, they got to trade this guy. But we always believed that he had what he did last year and this year in him. Like, raw skills are as good as the best 15 forwards in the league. Certainly offensively, for sure.
Yeah, you know what?
Passing, shooting is unbelievable.
Yeah, I went back not that long ago and read what I wrote after they signed that last contract. And one of the things, like, I think was in there is like, is there a 50 goal scorer in there? Is there a 40 goal? Is there a 90 point player? Is there a 100 point player in there? And it felt like that was possible for him. Like, he could get to this level. I, again, like, it feels like they they've made the same mistake that they made in the past. They kind of use that. I mean, we talked about it last time. Maybe that phrase should be amended to, if you have time, don't use it. Like, just do it
faster. The counter to that, Jonas, is what was he going to sign for in July 1 that was going to be better?
I guess the question is, like, if you enticed him and said, you know what, 10 and a half by 8, does that make him think a little bit more about it?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean,
you know why? Knows?
Why?
You know why that wouldn't have done it? Because why? He wanted more than Marner.
Yeah. I mean, so that's then what, that so would, maybe that you do their, 11. Yeah. I mean,
in that 11 was their guiding star. Well, before he had the 120 point season pace that he's on right now, 123 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, could you imagine if in July 1 they signed him for 8 years at 11 million? Everyone would have been like,
yeah,
it's good. Everyone would have been like, what are they doing? But that's what. So I don't know that. They could have saved a little bit. Like, I think they might have been able to get him at 11 in July, but why would anyone have signed him for that much back then?
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, you'd be looking a little bit better now, but at the time, I think the question would be like, wait, what?
Let me throw this out. I know we need to take a break, but let me throw this at you, Jonas. Mm-hmm. If you're giving him full no move all 8 years, which almost nobody gets, the only other contract I could find that someone had that was Nathan MacKinnon. Nobody else gets no move every single year. Mm-hmm. You know, all the other contracts, think about anybody around the league that signed a contract, other than the Leafs guys. you're going to get 11 and a half. You're going to give him all 8 years until he's going to be 35 years old at the end of that contract.
Correct.
You're going to front load it. You're going to bonus it. You're going to make it buyout proof. He's going to get paid even if there's a lockout. With the way the deal's structured, if you're going to give him all that, why not just wait till July 1 and see what the other offers are? See who you're bidding
against. You can't do that. You just can't. Because like then he could,
Lightning did it. The Lightning did it with Stamkos.
He'll just leave. You want to like roll the dice? You want to play chicken? Like I wouldn't want to play chicken in that case. And then what do you? And let's say that you do that, James. And then he's like, all right, you know, fuck you guys. I'm going to go sign somewhere else. And then that's the same day that Mitch Marner can negotiate an extension. Now his agent's like, good luck. You just lost Willie. Pay us. Or, oh, you know what? Yes. Okay. We'll just wait the year and he'll leave too.
They had two bad options. One of them was to overpay him, which is the one that they went with, or to wait it out.
But how much, let me ask you, like, how much of an overpay is this? What should he be making? 10 and a half?
I think 10.5. You could even convince me of like 10.6, 10.7 makes sense.
Sure. Because
if you look at the comparables with where he fits, mm-hmm. I'll buy the argument that he fits pretty, you know, what Huberdeau, Gaudreau, those guys did. And then you escalate that for the cap going up. I think that,
yeah.
I mean, the piece I wrote in November, I was saying like mid-10s makes sense. But so he gets $92 million, Jonas, mm-hmm. from the Leafs. If he goes to free agency, he can only get a 7-year deal, right?
Correct. So he can't get that. Basically,
the only way he can get $92 million is if a team gives him 13.15 a year.
Right, which isn't happening.
There's, who are they negotiating against then?
He just had all the leverage, James. Like he could have just played chicken.
I mean, yeah. The only leverage the Leafs had was to wait till July 1. That was their leverage. But a team like Tampa did it with Stamkos and got him back on the contract they wanted and got him down to the number they wanted.
That's circumstances.
Then they won two Stanley Cups.
I don't think that circumstance is the same.
They played chicken and they won.
Yeah, well, you can also play chicken and end up in a fucking crash.
What's the most that Nylander is going to get in free agency? 12?
Yeah.
12 by 7 is $84 million. $84 million divided by 8 years.
No, you're right, James. Like, in theory, you're right. But you also, like, he could just do that, like, and leave. And then you're like, well, great. Like, oh, okay, so we didn't overpay him, but we lost him. Like,
but that's what the job of running an NHL team though is like sometimes you do have to play chicken. Sometimes you have to look at your bad options.
Well, he played chicken the last time and it cost the Calgary Flames. I mean, now it looks like it might have been a good thing that they didn't, I mean, with what's happened to Johnny Gaudreau in Columbus, but that's exactly like he went through the same situation.
That Huberdeau contract?
Well, the Huberdeau, well, and that's looking not great.
Now I'm playing devil's advocate. I mean, I think that the argument that you're making that how much is he overpaid is the right one. Like I think that, you know, 10.7 versus 11.5, you know, yeah, there's 800 grand on the cap. Like Nylander's not going to be overpaid, but the problem, you look like the no movement clause and like, you know,
he got everything. Yeah, you're right. I thought it was interesting, James. Like, I mean, you mentioned like how well he's done in this contract year. I mean, we saw David Pastrnak do the same thing. We've seen guys like in contract years, like wasn't Huberto a contract year. They signed him a year out.
Yes, because the Huberto contract starts this year. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yes, so what I will, I know, again, I know we got to take a break, but what I had a team, I had an executive with another team reach out and say, what makes Nylander's number and contract better than Huberto or Gaudreau is he's younger. Nylander's only 27 right now. He's going to be turned 28 in May.
Yep.
Huberto and Gaudreau and some other players are 30 plus. And it's a big difference if you're getting, if you're doing an 8-year deal and the first 2 years are still peak prime years, 28, 29, as opposed to if you're just paying for the 30s, those contracts are worse.
You know what, James? Let's take a break and then let's keep this discussion going. And then we'll get to some questions a bit later after that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, James, let's continue the Nylander discussion. It was interesting, like just talking to him over the weekend in San Jose, like him mentioning that he started thinking about his contract last season, which I didn't really think because like he seems always so cool and unflappable is the word a lot of people use to describe him. But like he was thinking last season, if I have this amazing year, I'm going to be able to maybe get an extension done this summer and then good to go. And then obviously he slumps down the stretch. No extension, comes out of the gate this year, doesn't think about it, plays really well, you know, third in league scoring as we sit today. It's impressive, like, the way he's been able to handle this. What do you think, like, how real do you think this is? Like, I don't think he's a 120-point player maybe again, like, if he gets there this year, but I think he can be, like, 100-ish, 40-ish goals the next 4 or 5 seasons. Like, what do you think is kind of realistic?
This is exactly the question I wanted you to ask me. This is okay. Perfect.
Wow.
So to me, like the Gaudreau and Huberto contracts are really interesting because both of those guys, 2 years ago, when they were coming up for their, Gaudreau was coming to UFA and Huberto was coming up to where he could sign an extension. Both of those guys had, I think they both had 115 point seasons, right?
Yeah. Yep.
They had their career year, their breakout year around the same age as Nylander. They were 28 years old 2 years ago. They put up, I think Gaudreau had 113.
You're correct, James. They were both tied for second in the league in scoring with
115. Okay. They both tied. So they had these monster years right at the right time, right when they're going in to negotiate their next deals. And you know what? You look at the underlyings for those years, and you look at on-ice shooting percentage, all situations, I looked it up, and they're both right at the top of the league.
Yeah.
And now for people who don't follow some of the analytics, on-ice shooting percentage is the shooting percentage of every player on the ice when that player's on the ice, if that makes sense. So all their line mates, the defensemen, it's basically a measure of how frequently are pucks going in the net when they're on the ice. And this is a number that fluctuates year to year, and it's a number that greatly influences how many points players get.
It's so basically a luck stat in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a really good player, you can influence that. Like Austin Matthews on ice shooting percentage is going to be much better than,
yes,
I don't know, David Kampf's, right? Because he can make, but it's going to fluctuate year to year because there's just variations in, like, you know, you're out there and the defenseman shoots a point shot and it tips off something and goes in. If that happens more,
yep.
Anyway, you're right. Like a component of it is luck. And if you have a really high outlier on a shooting percentage, that the tendency is going to be that that's not going to continue. So both Huberdeau and Gaudreau had high 14% on a shooting percentage in all situations, which is really high. Like they were both in the top five or six in the league among players that played regularly. And now that's come way down. I mean, Huberdeau's is way, way down. And you look at where he's at in Calgary and he's just, it's a complete disaster there.
Yes.
Our colleague Julian McKenzie wrote a great story about Huberdeau last week about just like how much of a mess it is.
I saw that.
He can't score. He's playing 17 minutes a game. How long was his goal drought? It was like 14 games before he had. I feel bad for him. Like Huberdeau, he's a great person. He's a great player. He's like the Samsonov in like a player form. And he's got the $10.5 million contract. This is the first year of it.
Yeah.
And so, it's buyout proof and they're not going to be able to trade that. And Calgary's struggling. There's no answer there. They can't trade him. So he's just going to have to try and play his way out of it.
But back to
back to Neil. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Keep me on the rails here. So I look up Nylander and I was like, okay, so we know what happened with Gaudreau. Yeah. We know what happened with Huberdeau. They were like 14.5% or whatever. But when I looked at it, this is before the San Jose game, Nylander was at like 12.7, 12.8 on a shooting percentage, which is high. It's the highest he's ever had in his career, but it's not like way out of whack.
Well, can I stop you? Can I give him the previous few seasons?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to 2019-2020. 10.3, 10.98, 11.8, 12.2, 12.9 this year. So it's hot. Yep. To your point, it's higher, but it's not like a crazy, crazy outlier. Continue. Yep.
So basically what that says is like, this is going to be a career year for Nylander. This is... He's not going to be this every year, which I think people know. Like people know he's not going to be 123 point player every year, but he's a bit high and it's going to come down. And if he comes down to 10%, I mean, you can work out the percentages. You get out your calculator tool and you can work it out. But so I asked Dom Lecision, who's one of our numbers gurus. I said, what's Nylander's true talent number for points? And my guess was, is it like 85 to 90? And Dom says 95. Yeah. So that kind of range is what the Leafs are getting. They're getting that, like, I think they're getting like high 80s, low 90s. That's what he actually is. I don't think people should expect he's going to be third in league scoring every year.
No. But even like James, like even if you look at his just individual shooting percentage right now, it's at 12.8. Last year, 13.7. The year before that, 13.3. The year before that, 12.8.
No,
before that, 15.7.
Yeah, but that's why I'm not looking at his individual shooting percentage, right? Because that's not what's driving the 120 points, because his goal total is not out of whack. Like goal total he's on is...
Yeah, it's like a 40-ish.
He can do that. Like he can do that every year until the age-related decline kicks in like 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
So the goals are totally reasonable. It's just that the on-ice shooting percentage is high and it's driving his assist totals higher and that's driving his point totals higher. And this is going to be... I'd be very surprised. I mean, the other thing that we can say too is that looking at those numbers, he's probably not going to be able to keep this pace up the rest of the year. Like he's going to slow down and people are going to say, oh, the contract is messing with him. And it's like, well, he's probably just not going to get as many assists. Like, I mean, even look last night in the San Jose game, like look at all the like Nylander, I think he picked up like a couple secondary assists where like at the puck, he didn't have the puck. Well, I mean, the one he got on the Riley goal was great, but sometimes in the last few games, like he's been getting a lot of assists and it's like, it's the second pass. And
you know, it's weird though, James, like if you look at like on ice shooting percentage 5-on-5, it's like, it's not really anything. It's just like normal. But yeah, you're right. I would expect him to slow down a bit.
That's why I didn't look at that. I mean, I looked at all of this stuff, but it's like, it's really the all situations one. And like, I think that's like some of like the overtime points that he's had, and like when they've been 6-on-5, there's been like a bunch of extra points that he's picked up there that are probably not going to be. So I'm not saying that he's going to fall way off in the second half of the season, but he's probably not going to finish with 123 points. He's probably going to finish with, I don't know, 110 or something this year.
Sure. Yeah.
Which would be like another 50 points over the last 40 games, which is still pretty good.
Well, and I just think, James, with his skill level and the way he skates and like the way he takes care of himself, like I don't think he's going to like fall off a cliff until like, I don't know, the sixth year of the contract, seventh year of the contract. You know what I mean? When he's like mid 30s, I still think like he'll be like, he's not going to be worth this, but I think there are other layers to this that they had to consider. Like Mitch Marner in his future, like John Tavares and his cap figure coming off the books, you're going to be losing that kind of player, like a star player soon. Like John Tavares is, you know, his production has slowed down again this year. Still had a good year for a 33-year-old, but you know, you're kind of boxed in where like, okay, you want to let him go. Like, how are you going to replace him? Like you're only, you know, he's 6.9 this year. It's not like you can go and find another player like that for, I guess you could spend more and get someone else, but like who is even, if you look at who's available in free agency, it's not really like, I think it, like Steven Stamkos is going to be like 34, 35. He'll be available. I'd have to look at,
I mean, Reinhardt's like the big, you know,
it's like he's old. I think he's older than Nylander. Is he the same draft as Nylander? I'd rather have Nylander. You know what I mean? Like you got to think of like what your team is going to be like if you let him go.
There's not a lot of like superstar offensive talent available UFA this year. Like there's just, so yeah, there's a couple of things. And I think the Marner factor is a big one too, because if they walk from Nylander, they would have to keep Marner then. Like you can't lose both of them back to back off seasons. I mean, you'd just be decimating your core. Mm-hmm. So I think by getting Nylander done, Marner's still got the no movement clause, but it does give them a little bit more flexibility, I guess is the right. And it gives them the other thing it might do too, is that let's say Nylander does have 115, 120 point season. Then Leafs can point to that and say to Marner, it's like, well, he got this number because he did that. Where's your 120 point season?
Yeah. I mean, it would be if he has 120 points, it'd be the second most that anybody in Leaf history has had. Only Gilmore had 127. I mean,
what's Marner's peak? What's he had?
99.
Right. 99. Last year. And he's probably not going to get that many this year. So,
no. I mean, that's, let's get to that because that is part of this conversation. I think we touched on it a little bit last week, but like if I'm Nylander and I'm his agent, I'm like, he's played better than just about all those guys the last 2 years. He's been better in the playoffs. Like he's not, I think it's been overblown, like how great he's been in the playoffs. He's been better than those guys. He's not been amazing, but he's scored more goals the last four playoffs than Matthew.
Yeah. But let's hold up though, Jonas, like some of the like praise for Nylander, I think goes too far because he's not on their first line. He doesn't get the toughest matchups.
You're right. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, and there's a,
he doesn't play as many minutes as those guys
until recently. He's playing basically the same, like a little bit less still than both those guys. Like, yeah, he's defensively, he's not in their world still.
That's it. The people who are comparing Nylander to Pastrnak, it's like Pastrnak's on the first line, you know, better defensive results, plays more minutes.
Yeah, but like you could also
pick and again,
that stuff apart, James. Like you could go back in past years and say, well, he played with Bergeron and Marchand, like, and now there's a reason for that. But
yep.
But anyway, continue.
And also, like the other thing too is that Nylander's not the Leafs' best player. Like he's not. So can you pay someone who's not your best player 11 and a half? Anyway, like I said, like I like Nylander, and I think the right number for him was not that far off of this, 10.5, 10.7. But you look at the comparables around the league, and it's hard to find another team paying a player like Nylander what the Leafs just paid him.
Well, let me ask you this just before we close on this subject. Now, what do you think, like, if you were guesstimating a number for Marner? There are a lot of factors. Like, they might not... Mitch Marner might not want to sign an extension on July 1. He might be preferred to play it out. I can see that happening.
It's going
to
depend what happens in the playoffs, don't you think, Jonas?
1,000%. That's the other part of this. The Leafs might look at, like, if Mitch Marner has another playoffs like he's had, they don't necessarily have a choice about trading him. Like, he might decide he doesn't want to be here. But if he has another playoffs like that, they might say, you know what? We don't want to sign an extension right now. We're good. We're going to wait. But, like, if you had to guess now, is it, like, are you, if you're Darren Ferris, are you saying we're starting at 11 and a half? Are you saying 12?
I mean,
he's making 10-9 now.
I think the Leafs should point to that Nylander contract and say, there it is.
Yeah, same
there's,
one.
There's your contract.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? I don't think that's...
I mean, I guess the argument from Marner's side is, you know, he's played more minutes, gotten sulky votes, mm-hmm. has had... I mean, Marner's had how many 90-point seasons? Three. Might get a fourth one this year.
Yep.
Yeah. And then in, during the like the COVID shortened years, he put up big numbers too. I mean, Marner's put up more, a lot more big number seasons than Nylander has. So that's what his camp would point to. So, but I think that that, I think from the Leafs perspective, they have to think that hopefully that Nylander contract has some sort of an anchoring effect to what Marner's going to want.
I think the only other point we should make, James, is next season gets a little bit tricky. As it stands right now, the Leafs would have the number one, number five, number nine, or sorry, number eight, and number 11 highest cap hits in the league.
Yep.
That's and the cap is going up, so that's part of it. So, yeah.
The cap's going up, what is it, 4.3 or something?
Yeah.
I mean, basically all of the money that
Nylander
yeah. got. Yeah.
But that's only like Tavares that after next season. But I mean, it is next season. It's going to be difficult.
Even they're not
more top heavy than they were before.
They're not screwed against the cap. Like they're no. like you look at their offseason for this coming summer, and it's very similar to what they had this past summer. You know, they go from paying their top four guys 48% of the cap to 53, I think it is, or something. And there's a little bit more that's going to the top guys, but
yeah,
they're basically gonna, they're going to have very similar decisions to make, and they can't do any more Klingberg and Reeves, and they can't pay $3.5 million to a starting goalie who can't play.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to need their young players to continue to play well on their entry level deals. And they're going to have to squeeze Liljegren into a bridge deal. But I see a way forward that's fine in the offseason. The big wild card is if they lose in the first round of the playoffs and they don't look very impressive, what happens? Do they try and make more substantial changes?
Well, you know what's going to be really important for them, James, is Joseph Woll. If Joseph Woll is the real deal, that is a big fucking win for your cap because he makes $767 next year.
And yeah.
He becomes a restricted free agent. I mean, he's real and you can pay your goalies like nothing.
And maybe you want to bring Jones back and like pay him what he's making now. And then your goalies are making a combined.
Yeah. Less than $2 million.
Yeah. That gives you some flexibility. And, you know, there's other contract. Like Bertuzzi's going to be up. Domi's going to be up. Brody's going to be up.
Yeah,
you know, that rate there is what 13.5.
Yeah.
13.5 million with those three guys. Samsonov's going to be up another 3.5. That's 17 million right there. And they're going to have to find some bargains. And they're going to have to find some bargains in a free agent class where there's not a lot of quality.
Yep.
And where all of those free agents and all of their agents are going to be saying, hey, the cap's going up. You got to pay more.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and ideally you would have like a young player or two who can come up and help you. And I don't
know that they do, right? Like,
yeah,
I know we put out the call for questions, which we're going to get to here soon on the podcast. And a lot of people are saying, well, I guess Minton and Cowan have to make the team next year, right? Because they're going to need those entry-level contracts. And it's like, I don't think they're ready.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break and then let's get to those questions because there's lots there.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Alrighty, James. Question time. What you got?
Question period. You will be not surprised to know that the very top question is, what is Mitch Marner going to want on his next contract? I mean, to be honest, I haven't looked at it that closely and for comparables and things like that, but there's only so many players that you can compare to. It's not going to be that far off the Nylander comparables. It's going to be Huberdeau. It's going to be Gaudreau. It's going to be Pasternak. It's going to be Panarin. And, you know, those are the players to watch for comparables. So I don't think there's that much room for Marner to ask for much more than the only thing is the cap could go up again, another, you know, 5%, which would take them to
92, right?
90. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's around 92. Yeah. So you have to factor that in and then you do cap percentage. So Nylander got 13.1% of the cap. Mm-hmm. If we say that Marner's going to get 13, I don't know, 2.5 or something, and the cap is 92, that's a 12.2 would be the cap hit.
Yeah.
So that might be ballpark for where, and that's just me off the top of my head. I haven't like looked at every single other contract.
Well, I mean, he's not going to be able to get more than McDavid. Obviously the McDavid contract was signed in a different time. But like McDavid's at 12.5. You're not making, I don't think
he's not going to approach the Matthews number, right?
Like that's 13.25. You're right. So yeah, I think like 12 in the 12 ballpark is probably what it's at. I mean, but so much, like you said, is going to decide whether A, he wants to do it and whether B, they want to do it. Like if he has a great playoffs, they might just say, you know what, let's do it. 12.2. I mean, the other thing is like, it's not like Mitch Marner has an easy agent to negotiate with either. Like Lewis Gross was formidable in both the Nylander negotiations. And obviously you remember what happened last time with Marner where he signs the deal like days into camp. And it was like, oh boy, like this could drag out. And then they decided we don't want this to drag out again. We don't want Nylander 2.0. And they signed him to this contract. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, like, I know fans get frustrated with just there being so much contract talk.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, should I not? Basically, all the questions we're getting are contract talk. So I guess we have no choice. If you don't like contract talk, maybe just skip this podcast. Andrew wants to know, once Tavares's deal comes off the books, what should his next contract look like? Tavares will not be 35 yet when he signs his next contract, which is good because a 35 plus contract can be problematic in terms of it can be hard to bury, or if a player retires on a 35 plus contract, in some cases it still stays on the books and stuff like that. So he'll be 34. He'll be in a similar situation to kind of where Stamkos is going to be coming up this year. And I think the Stamkos one's going to be really interesting to watch. It's been a bit of a contentious process with Tampa getting that done. I think that if Tavares is willing, I think what the Leafs should do is go long term and bring the cap hit way down. That's what
really,
that's what I would do. Yeah.
Like, what are you talking long term? He'll be 34.
I would just give
him, he'll be 35 at that point.
Yeah, because he'll turn 35 in September. I would give him a 7 or 8 year deal, and just to
you're
get the cap hit.
Crazy.
He's yeah, but you know what? What you know what happens, Jonas? If he retires, you know what happens?
It disappears.
Gone.
Yeah,
you front load the whole deal. Put James, most of the money in the first 5 or 6 years.
Sorry, why is he entitled to it? Like, what do you think he's entitled to on a short term deal? Like, I'm just looking. To me, the comparable player ish would be something like Joe Pavelski, and like Joe Pavelski's current contract, like he's older than Tavares was, but like in 2019 he signed a 3-year deal, $7 million cap hit. After that expired, uh-huh, he signed a 1-year deal, $5.5 million cap hit. He's currently playing on a 1-year deal, $3.5 million cap hit. Now he's 39 now, so like I think somewhere in like a 3-year deal, I don't know, six makes
but
sense.
Let me entice
like,
you.
Their leverage, James, is he's not going to want to go anywhere. He's the captain. He's like, he's from here. He's set up to stay here. He's made a lot of money. I don't know.
If you're Tavares and you're like, you want to retire here and like change your legacy as a Leafs player, do a little bit of a hometown discount. And I think that the way you make it palatable is, so you're saying give him, what would you say, $6 million for 3 years?
Yeah, something like that.
So you're saying $18 million for 3 years. What if the Leafs tack on another $5 million and you make it like a 6 or 7 year deal? And then all of a sudden the cap hits like 3.5. And all of a sudden, whatever player he caliber of player is at.
I just don't want to be on like that commitment. Cause like, what if he just decides he wants to keep playing? Like
you could send him to the minors or you can find a trade. I mean, don't give him a no move clause towards the end of the deal. The upside, Jonas, is the cap hit. Like if you're getting him for, especially in those first few years, if he's still your second line center or he's still on your power play one, when that deal starts and he's only making 3.5, 3.75, it's going to be a huge win for you.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be. I mean, we don't need to talk about second line center anymore, but I do not think he'll be a second line center at age 35. But anyway, we'll see.
But it doesn't matter if he's a really good second line left winger and he's playing on your top power play unit and he's still putting up.
Yeah, but I don't know what we, there's still too much to be determined. Like, what is he going to look like at that point? Like, we need to see a, how next year plays out. Like when he'll be 34, he'll be 35. He's never been like the quickest guy. He's, I mean, the one thing with Tavares that you can count on.
That's why I don't want to give him the 3-year, $6 million a year deal or, you know, like.
Well, then go less. Like, I mean, your leverage is like, where are you going to go? Are you going to go somewhere else? Like, you won't, like.
I just think that like the fan base will probably look at Tavares differently if he, you know, he signs like a legacy contract to stay for the rest of his career for a low enough number.
Sign a Giordano type deal. I don't know.
Well, he's too young to sign a Giordano deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, maybe he could. Maybe you do a 4-year deal and then you do a Giordano deal. But like, I don't expect him to leave $20 million on the table. That's not what Giordano or Spezza did. They didn't have $20 million offers coming to them.
You're right. And I mean, if you look at like what Malkin signed for in Pittsburgh, it was like a 4-year deal, 6 point something.
Yeah.
That actually kind of feels right. He's around.
But I'm just saying like, I would get creative with it. And because there's not very much downside to giving the extra years to me, and you can get that cap hit down.
Yeah. I hear you. It's fair.
He's probably going to end up on LTI or like,
I don't want to do any of that nonsense if I don't have to, but
he's the kind of guy though. Like you look at how well Crosby is playing and Pavelski, like I could see Tavares being a useful player at 39.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not like Pavelski's like this amazing skater either, but he's like
year one of his contract would be 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. So 39 would be the fifth year of a deal.
Yeah, I think
maybe you want to go more than like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, I don't.
But he's not going to play those final years anyway.
Okay. All right,
you got to mix in some cap circumvention here if you want to win. Dan says, "I love the Nylander deal. Feels like it puts pressure on Marner to perform in the playoffs this year. If the Leafs don't go deep, doesn't this give Tree Living a chance to pivot off of the big four?"
It, in theory, it does, but like Marner has a no movement. That's why last summer was so crucial. Like, if you were going to make a decision, that was the time because like his no movement didn't kick in until July 1, and they decided. I mean, they created a situation where they had a new GM. There was all this chaos. Like, they weren't. I mean, they could have done something, but like they set themselves up where they couldn't do anything. And now, if it doesn't go well in the playoffs, like.
Marner would have to be amenable to it. Like you would be at his mercy to say,
yes,
are you willing to waive and where would you be willing to go?
Yes. I don't think that's impossible. Like, I don't think that's like a 0% chance if it doesn't go well.
Yeah. But if he says, no, I want to stay, you have no recourse. What are you going to do?
It's the same thing with Tavares.
You're going to put him on the fourth line the next year or something. What are you going to do? I guess you could just let him walk for nothing. Again, I guess that's like all you could do.
Yeah, play out next year.
The next 2 years.
No, what do you mean next 2 years?
Well, Right. Yeah, just have him play out the final year. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I was thinking of this year.
And then he goes on like a crazy season. And he has 130 points, and then anyway.
But you know, to what we talked about earlier, and to what the question asker Dan is saying, like that's why getting Nylander. In the door,
so yeah.
even though you capitulated too much on the negotiation, that it's important. James T, good name. He says there's lots to talk about the cap crunch next year being a non-issue, but by the numbers, Willie and Austin will make an extra $6 million. The cap's only going up 4 and change. There's a lot of money coming off the books, but it feels like the Leafs are going to have more holes to fill than they did last offseason. With $2 million less to do it, not to mention Liljegren needs a bump. I think it looks like if you plug in all the numbers and work it out, it looks really, really close to last year to me. Looks really close.
You don't need to pay like Bertuzzi at 5.5 is not really a discount. You don't need to pay him that. Brody at 5, that's coming off. You don't need to pay Brody that if you decide to bring him back. Like there are ways like that they can just shave a lot of this off, right?
Yeah, I think like if Brody will come back at like 2.5 or 2.75. I mean, the lately, Brody, you wonder if he's like even a, he's not a top pair guy anymore. And like, I think that if you sign him to a new deal, he might be on your third pair. So you got to find a number that you're comfortable with on that.
Well, and on that point, James, like I know it seems like there's like some talk out there that they should jump and extend some of these other guys. I don't think they should extend any of them right now.
Well, I would extend them if they'll sign for, like if Benoit and Jones want to sign for what they're making now, I would think about
it. Sure. That's the only thing I would do. You want like Benoit's $775? Okay, we'll give you 2 years, $800. Like other than that, like I'm just not.
Yeah, if Benoit wants 2 years at $1 million or whatever, I would be like, okay, like he's played well enough. But if you're him, why would you do that? Like you look at the UFA class and defensemen, and look at how well he's played. Like it makes no sense for him to do that.
Yeah, and like Bertuzzi, Domi, I wouldn't sign. I wouldn't do any of that.
I mean, if you're Benoit, you're like, look at the deal Labushkin got when he went to UFA. Like, you know, like what did he get? Like 2.7 or something? It's,
yeah.
You know, there's guys that are third pair D that get a lot of money in free agency. All right. What do we got here? What do we got? We got about 10 minutes, Jonas. You stay with me?
You got it.
Chris does not like the Nylander deal. He says, is it widely accepted that Leafs management is a joke around the league? No other team loses their contract negotiations this badly this often. Please note, negotiations is being used as a euphemism. It's interesting, like these contracts, I think there's fatigue in the fan base that they saw the way that the last, especially the last Marner negotiation went, and just losing that. And then the landscape around the league, no other team did that, right? Like, it didn't. Remember when the Marner contract was signed and the Matthews contract, the second contract, were signed, and people were like, this is going to change how stars are paid in the NHL. Then COVID happened. Cap didn't go up for 4 years. Nothing changed except the Leafs paid their stars more than other teams did.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of true. But like Kaprizov took like a 5-year deal. Like, what did he get? Like nine? What did he get? I can't remember. What was Kaprizov's?
I don't have that in front of me, but
I can look it up. It's
Kaprizov signed after like 1.5 seasons, right? Like there was no track record when he signed. So
right, but but like it's like along those lines. Yeah, it was a $9 million cap hit, 5-year deal. I think it was 5 years. I mean, it's just like in other markets, some guys have signed for less. Like Tkachuk signs for nine.
In every other market, Jonas. Like, is there a market where guys didn't sign for less?
I mean, Calgary.
Yeah. Man,
I just think some of the conditions are unique. Like if they had, we talked about this before, like if they had jumped on the extensions for Matthews and Nylander sooner,
yeah,
we wouldn't be talking about this. We wouldn't be saying, well, the Leaf guys got more, but they didn't. And then if you're in their position, like why would you, I mean, people will say, well, you want to win. Yeah. I also want money. Like if I can have more money, I'll have more money. And in some of those other places, like people point to Tampa, they state tax thing is different. Like it's an advantage. Yeah, but
the endorsement thing is different in Canada. And the other thing that's different in Canada is you're getting paid in the endorsement. I know. I know exactly how much the guys are getting.
Go ahead.
I do.
You told me Zach Hyman was going to make a bajillion dollars in endorsements here and sign in Toronto, and he did not.
Yeah, but that's because the Leafs made a decision that they didn't want to sign the contract.
Yeah, but you said, anyway, that's spilt milk. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, he was going to make more in Toronto into endorsements than he would in Edmonton. That's for sure.
Did you see
that? I mean, the Hyman thing was very close to getting done. What the heck was I going to say?
I don't know.
What was the, you interrupted my train of thought with a Zach Hyman non sequitur that I wasn't expecting.
Just about the Leaf guys not taking less and like Tampa taking less and like blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, like Marner's first 2 years in the NHL, he had 61 and 69 points. So if you're doing the Kaprizov and you were negotiating off those first two seasons, there's no way he was going to get 11 million.
And that's what I think he would. Done. I think he would have got taken 8x8 is what
I thought it was 8x9, 9 million a year.
I think it was 8x8, but anyway, same shit, same less than now.
Less than now. Yeah.
And I think I wonder if they could have signed Matthews like right when they signed Tavares and maybe even done something exactly the same or, right. You know,
right.
But anyway,
right. And then so they wait, and then Marner has the 94-point season in his third year playing with Tavares.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it's like, then he's got a case to get a lot more. All right. This is a good question. I don't know the answer to this. I don't know if you've looked at this. Nick says, how well do the Leafs' third and fourth line offensive numbers this year compare to previous seasons and compared to other teams around them in the division, the conference? That'd be a good story, Jonas, actually, to look at.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, as far as theirs goes, like their fourth line doesn't give them like anything offensively. Their third line
people are just worried going into the playoffs again that the Leafs are going to be shut down, and if the Stars have trouble scoring, they're not going to get enough from the third and the fourth line.
Which, I don't think that's an unreasonable concern. I think it's just as concerning now. Right? Like, who are you counting on in your bottom six to give you goals?
They need Holmberg to do more of those one-handed goals in the playoffs. Just say, tell him to go do that again.
You know, it's funny, James, like I did a short story on like what they had to trade, and he was one of the guys that came in there. And like what I wrote in there is I think he's an NHL player. And like, if I was another team and I was trading with the Leafs, that would be one of the guys I would try to get because I think he can play. And now I think like maybe the Leafs said to themselves, you know what, why aren't we playing this guy? Like,
and then you can tell Keith likes him and thinks there's something there.
He was good last year. Like, granted, like he was just their fourth line center, but he's like smart. Even offensively last year, I think he had like 13 points in like 30 odd games playing fourth line minutes. Like, there's something there. Like, I think he's useful. I don't know what he is.
He's only 24. He's only been in North America for 2 years. You know, I would hang on to him and just keep playing him.
The problem is, James, like he should be their fourth line center. Except they have a fourth line center in camp, like who's making 2.4. Like ideally, you and I have talked about this offline. Like ideally, you're just paying Holmberg 800K to be your fourth line center, and then you've taken that camp money and used it somewhere else. Ideally, for a better third line.
I wonder if he's tradable. I mean, the camp contract has not worked out very well at all.
The only thing with that, James, is like at least I know if I'm Keith in a playoff series, like I can put him on the ice and trust him. Like that's
offensively, he's been just like a complete black hole.
Yeah.
Michael says, should the Leafs re-sign Jones and Benoit now and lock them up for next year? I mean, like I said, if they're coming on a low number, then yeah, but I don't see why they would.
You just need to see more, like let the season play out. You don't need to rush to sign Simon Benoit. Why?
Well, because you might get him at a better number than if he plays the whole year like this.
I don't know how good he is. This has been like a tiny, teeny, tiny stretch.
I know, but it's the same thing with everything, Jonas. It's like there's like risk and reward, right? Like it's, you know, if you wait too long, then he's going to have a case where he's like, he knows he can get $2 million in free agency and you have no chance. Whereas right now you could be like, hey, we'll extend you right now, you know, and maybe
just playing it out.
I do like the way he plays, though. He is kind of what they need.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's like
totally fine for sure.
I mean, he's a good third pair guy. Taylor wants to know, why did Nylander's extension need to get done now? Is it even possible for him to get higher than this? Kind of touched on this a little bit. And he says, do you think other contracts around the league will come higher than this, or will the Leafs be paying more than the rest of the league like last time? I mean, I think you're going to see Elias Pettersson put up a number that's bigger than Nylander, but Pettersson's a center.
Draisaitl.
It's going to be interesting to see what Reinhart gets. Reinhart's having a monster year in Florida. He might end up being the marquee UFA this year. Reinhart's can play center. He's good defensively. But he just doesn't have the kind of marquee. He doesn't have the same brand as like some of the other players. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he gets. I like this one. Tim says, this question will sound like I'm an angry old man. I'm not angry. I'm just old. He says, in the press I've read and watched following the Matthews and Nylander signings, I haven't seen reporters ask them why they're not willing to take less. The fans I know wonder about this often. Why aren't the players asked this? I don't think you would get a very good answer to that question if you asked the players that. They would probably defer to their agents, right? I mean, it'd be an interesting question to go to all of the players, and I don't know. You'd have to be careful the way you ask it.
It's also, I get why it's a question. It's also like not totally a fair question. Like, because I want like money. I don't know. I want to be paid fairly. I don't know. Like, there's lots of.
Yeah, I think the thing for Nylander is that he felt like he wasn't being paid like his peers, despite being as good as them. That's how he felt.
Isn't that funny, James? Like how that contract initially was like just a shitstorm. Like, has any contract been discussed more than that one? And like the amount of vitriol, like that they overpaid, and like how could they give him this much? And obviously, like they took it right to the end. So clearly, they didn't want to pay him either. Like that, to the that degree that he
was
wanted.
Fine on day one when it was signed. Like
right, it was such a shitstorm. Anyway,
well, Nylander's just like taken a lot of crap for a long time, and like all of the doubters and whatever. It's just Hyman the same way too. Like, remember all the crap that people said about Hyman early in his career? Like, look at what he's doing now. So
yeah,
the agents are heavily involved, and they're saying to the guys, like, you deserve this. Like, you played well, you earned this, you should get what you've earned. And I don't know that they're wrong.
Indeed, James. All right, I think that's we gotta roll.
One more for you. Roland wants to know, is there any rumblings on deadline additions? Do you have you changed your mind at all on where you think the trade deadline shapes up? I mean, it still feels like it's going to be the Chris Tanev show, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, what are you paying for him? Can you get someone else? I don't know. Like, I don't know what you pay for. Do you pay a first round pick for Chris Tanev? I don't. Maybe.
I don't think they want to. So the question is, can they do it with something else?
We have plenty of time to explore the trade deadline. That's it. So I think we'll be back same day next week, James. The Leafs will be out west. They play Edmonton Tuesday, Calgary, Chris Tanev on Thursday, and then Vancouver on Saturday, and then Seattle Sunday. But lots to happen before then, including maybe an Ilya Samsonov start. We'll see. Anything else you want to say?
That's it. Thanks for listening, everyone.